Morning, everyone. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Huh? I'm glad you're here today. Flash a nice smile. Look behind you, in front of you. Welcome to our morning service today. We have a few announcements I just want to share with you before we invite our guest speaker. This week, we had a new baby come into our SP community, and Eunsung and Jian gave birth to Minhee. And she broke our record so far. She came in at 3.97 kilo, right? So, Amber, you might break that, it looks like. But so new babies come into our community. Also, actually, just want to recognize hey, Alex, and you guys want to stand? Yeah. Alex and Julie got married last weekend in Seoul. So, Alex looks happy. Alex is continuing the trend. You guys can sit down. Thanks. He's continuing the trend at SP. If you notice, you know, all of our guys married women much more beautiful than we are, right? Myself included, especially Jean-Marc, and, you know, right? It's just one of our SP traditions. Yeah, don't laugh. You too, Stuart, right? And stuff. So, so thank you for continuing our tradition. Also, this past week, Jacinta and Jason got married, and so they'll be making their way back from Hawaii. And also, Will and Miran got married yesterday in Seoul, right? And so, it's that time. Remember, the theme this year was the year of reaping, right? You guys don't forget that. And then, if we could pray next week, Yan and Leanne are getting married in Taiwan, right? And so, I'll be there officiating the ceremony. And then, I think a week after that, Jihei's getting married in Manila. Right, and stuff. So a lot of good weddings coming up, okay? And, oh yeah, that's right, and Caleb and Christina get married 2 days after GA is. So December is like the month of love, you know, it seems like, where everyone's just trying to get in the last second before the year of reaping's over, because next year might be the year of destitution. I don't know, right? It's not, but it's all right. I'm not getting a lot of sleep because of my third kid, so that's my excuse for my babbling. And so we just really praise God for all the good news that's happening around us. This past weekend, we had a North Korea conference, Empower Conference, and it was really good. We got tons of information, and I felt personally for me that God really downloaded a lot of good strategies, you know, that I'll be sharing with you probably in the coming year about how we can really impact you know, a part of the world that's going through a lot of stuff right now. And so we had Dr. James Kim from the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology was here. And Chris Kim, you'll see Chris in the second service. These guys are actually speaking at different services today. But we got the main man here in our service, right? So this is Dr. Jamie Kim. And he's a graduate of Trinity, so we'll forgive him for that. And as a fuller man. And so, he moved to Korea earlier, was it last year, right? Or this year. And he runs a ministry called Rhea International. And they're basically a ministry that tries to network and care for frontline workers, especially people that are interested in North Korea. And so, you know, it was actually Armanda that really, you know, was the force behind having this conference. And we actually just wanted to get together. And we just thought, you know what, you know, like we have a prayer meeting at our church, and a lot of people that are quite, you know, concerned for what's happening in North Korea. And we thought, you know, there's probably other groups all over Hong Kong as well that are praying for North Korea. We just wanted to see who they were. You know, they didn't show up, you know, but we're still going to try to find out where they're at and see, you know, see what we can do collectively as a nation, you know, for North Korea. And so Jamie, Dr. Kim is also a professor at Torch Seminary in Korea, and then he'll be moving to China to teach at the Yonbei University of Science and Technology. And he's married. They got a lovely kid in the back who's actually been sick. Maybe we can continue to pray for her this weekend. And so without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Jamie Kim.
I got this set up for you.
Church is a community of overachievers. You get married in Philippines and Thailand, and you're jet setters, and it's a great privilege to meet some of you personally. I know Peter and Yuli. They're also a couple of overachievers from Southern California. Yeah, it's a great privilege for me to be involved in the work of North Korea, helping the people of North Korea. And also, it's a great privilege for me to address you as a congregation. And I was thinking about what message to prepare for this Sunday. And since I've been in Korea, I've been thinking about the relationship between North and South Korea. And I was thinking, where can I get a kind of a model of the relationship between the North and South Korea from Scripture? And I thought of Jacob and Esau, the twins that were estranged from one another even from birth. As I was preparing this message, I got some insight with regard to the North and South Korea, but I also feel like God's going to speak to some of us this morning, and not only for the work in North Korea. I mean, I'll give some analogies that would speak to North Korea, but I also feel like God's going to speak to some of us very personally this morning. So let's approach this time with an expectant heart with regard to what God is doing in North Korea, our perspective towards North Korea, but also how God's going to speak to us personally this morning and also as a community. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word that we are not without guidance. We're not without your word guiding us as we approach this topic of North Korea. And also as we approach this topic of just your work in our lives. So, Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to just anoint this time and anoint these words so that you would speak to us as individuals and also as a community. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Huh? Oh, for the PowerPoint? I can do this? Okay. How do you do this? Oh. Just keep... Oh, okay.
This is a...
Huh? Oh, this is it? Okay. Okay. Okay, the topic is, what is the true blessing? If we take a look at Jacob. If we take a look at the life of Jacob, Jacob sought true blessings. He wanted the blessing. He wanted happiness in life. And so, if we could take a look at, for example, what he did with his brother Esau. He tried to find happiness. He tried to find the blessing by thinking that he could. If he took away the birthright of Esau, he thought that perhaps he could have this blessing and this happiness. And if we take a look at what really lied behind Jacob's pursuit of this birthright, it was really the title. He felt like, okay, you know what, I'm second in my family, but I want to be the first. So I want to be the firstborn. And so he thought that by having this title, that he would be happy and he would seek the blessing. How about us? You know, I remember a time when I was in between. I was serving in Asia for a couple of years, and I went back to Canada, and I was thinking, what should I do with my life? And for about 6 months, I didn't have any job. I didn't have a title. And so for a while, I didn't want to meet anybody, because when I would be introduced, people didn't know how to introduce me, or I didn't know how to introduce myself. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a student. There was no title. And for a while, I realized that my identity, my security in some sense, stemmed from my title. And Jacob, too, he felt that he was a second son. And he felt that perhaps if I was a first son, that I would feel happy, that I would feel blessed. And I'm sure that some of us are maybe thinking that if we had the title, if I was a partner of my firm, maybe that will make me happy. Or if I was an executive, of my firm, or, you know, vice president, or even president, then maybe I'll be happy. Maybe those of us in ministry, if I was the senior pastor, maybe that will make me happy. Well, that was kind of the pursuit of Jacob. And so, Isaac said to his brother Esau, when Esau came and wanted the birthright, he said, so let's go on to the second one. The second thing that Jacob sought in his life, again, in the whole theme of happiness and blessing, is that he thought that if he could have his father's blessing, that he would be happy. And so Jacob stole the blessing of Isaac. And so when Esau came to Isaac for the blessing, Isaac said to Esau, but he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. So a way that we can relate to this is some of us, we feel that if we have the approval of people, if we are popular, if we have the blessings of people, then maybe that will make us happy. And as you see from examples of people who are rock stars or sports idols, these approval of people, they come and go. The third thing that Jacob thought, pursued in this pursuit of blessing and happiness, was wealth. And so throughout the 20 years with Laban, his father-in-law, he outwitted Laban and got his father-in-law's wealth. And so he accumulated lots of wealth. So for 20 years, he got the woman of his dreams, and then a second wife, although it was in the reverse order. And then he also got goats and all these livestock. So Jacob thought that I'll be happy, I'll be blessed if I became rich. The culmination of Jacob's pursuit of happiness and blessing is shown in Genesis 32, verse 26, when Jacob was wrestling with this man all night. And he said, and as this man was, said, let me go, for it is daybreak, Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. If we can kind of exemplify, if we could take a look at what Jacob's life was, in some ways he was pursuing kind of a prosperity gospel in some ways. He felt that the ends justify the means. You know, it doesn't matter if I cheat, if I lie, as long as I am happy, as long as I am blessed, as long as I am rich, that's the purpose of this life. But something happened. This Jacob, who was deceitful, a liar, something happened the night that he was wrestling with this angel that transformed him from this conniving, always striving, to someone who had peace. And so if we take a look at Jacob before the wrestling versus after the wrestling, we see a totally different Jacob. Someone who is at peace with himself. Someone who is not so striving. Someone who is not lying, conniving. But someone who is at peace with himself and with God. And so I wanted us to just examine what happened. What happened during this wrestling that Jacob was transformed. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verses 22 to the end. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. You see, all throughout Jacob's life, he was pursuing the titles. He was pursuing the approval of people. He was pursuing the wealth and wealth and prosperity. And he felt that by pursuing these things himself, in any way, in any means, that he would be happy. And he thought that he was the one who was doing it all. But something happened. As he was struggling with this man, later to discover that he was an angel of God, he fought with this man all night. And as usual, he did not give up. Jacob was not someone who gave up easily. Actually, he never gave up. And so this angel of God, although he was struggling with this angel of God, and this angel of God was more powerful, stronger, and so the angel of God would wrestle with him and thrash him and throw him aside, but Jacob would never give up. He came back and grabbed hold of him. And all night, exhausted, and yet Jacob never gave up. But something happened. When Jacob would not give up, the morning, the dawn came up, and so this angel, for some reason, he had to go away. And he said, so he touched the socket of his hip, and, Jacob, if you're anyone is a wrestler, without your legs, without, the sturdy, the stability of the anchoring of your legs, you cannot wrestle. And so when this angel touched the hip and the legs came out of the socket, Jacob knew that, for the first time, perhaps he had lost. Because he could not anchor himself as he was wrestling with this angel of God. But what did the angel say? The angel said, "What is your name?" And what did Jacob say? He confessed. And he said, "You know what? Okay, I'm dead. I'm lost. So, I'm Jacob." He was confessing that I'm the deceiver, the liar. And what did the angel say, this man? The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And this blew the mind of Jacob, because he knew that he had lost. His leg had come out of his, the hip socket. There's no way that he could win. But this angel of God said, "You know what? You won." And something happened. Jacob said, "Wow, I lost, but I won? What is this?" And then he realized God declared him the winner even though he lost. That God had been with him all the time. That although he thought he was the one who was lying and striving and getting the titles and the blessings and the wealth, but God had been with him all the time. It was God blessing him that he got the title, that he got the woman, that he got the wealth, he got the blessings of people. He didn't have to lie. He didn't have to deceive. God was going to bless him anyway. And so when Genesis 35, later on, he confesses to the people, "Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." For the first time in Jacob's life, he realized, "I thought I was the overachiever. But I thought I had achieved all these things through my own means. But it was God all along blessing me. He was with me. He wants to bless me." And so he didn't have to strive anymore. And so we see a different, and then so Jacob just, you know, falls down falls prostrate and worships God. And so we see a different kind of Jacob than before the wrestling and the encounter with the angel of God and afterwards. And so I want to take a look at some of the transformation that we see in Jacob and how this can relate to our approach to ministry, to missions. True blessing is finding our true identity and having peace with oneself. Or another way of saying is true blessing is finding our true identity and not from titles. You know, not when I approach somebody, I don't get my identity. I should not get my identity because I have a PhD and I'm Jamie, you know, Dr. Jamie Kim. That's not my identity. If that's where I get my identity and that's where I get my pride and my confidence, there's a different kinds of confidence. Jacob, this is the transformation we see in Jacob after he gets his true identity. He is no longer Jacob the deceiver, but he is Israel. Jacob looked up, Genesis 33. Actually, let's read the whole chapter together. So this Jacob who was deceiving, conniving, and scared of people, scared of Esau, and with this guilt that he had, that he lied to his own father, we see a transformation. So Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, Genesis 33, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Jacob in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the woman and children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, "These are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Jacob, Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, "What do you mean by all those droves I met?" "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Then Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I'll accompany you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me and that of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir." Esau said, "Then let me leave some of my men with you." "But why do that?" Jacob asked. "Just let me find favor in the eyes of my Lord." So that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Sukkot, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Sukkot. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Eloi Israel. So, when we take a look at this verse, we see a different Jacob. Jacob looked up and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So remember, Jacob was so convinced that Esau was going to kill him for lying and stealing his title and lying to his father and getting the his father's blessing. And so before this, Jacob was so terrified of meeting Esau. But this is a different Jacob. Jacob looked up and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. This is the difference that we see before and after. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. See, if this was the old Jacob, he probably would have had his servants go on ahead and try to, try to find out and put, but instead, Jacob goes to the front. There's this new confidence in him because of his identity. He is no longer the deceiver. I'm no longer the deceiver, but I am Israel. God is with me. If God is with me, who can be against me? If God brought me this far, surely he did not bring me so that I could die in the hands of my brother. He came. God will bless me. God will help me to win my brother's confidence. That's the kind of Jacob that we see here. Perhaps some of us have been, been name called as we were growing up. Maybe we were called shorty or stupid or whatever. But do you know how God sees you? Those of us who know how God sees us, there is new confidence. There is peace with oneself. I know the example of the pastors, because I'm in ministry and I've been a pastor for a long time. But there's pastors who try to copy others. So when I was attending Willow Creek Church in Chicago, does everyone know Bill Hybels? Most Americans would know Bill Hybels. If you go to Bill Hybels' church, a lot of the pastors speak exactly like Bill Hybels. They have not yet discovered their true identity. And so they try to copy those people who are, that they look up to. Or during the time when Billy Graham was very famous, I would come to Korea or hear about or see videos of some of the preachers in Korea, and they would preach like Billy Graham or evangelist. And so those people who know how God views us, have peace with ourselves, and we can be ourselves. So a true blessing is knowing our true identity and having peace with ourselves. Second true blessing is having peace with others. See, Jacob saw Esau as an enemy, a potential great threat to himself and to his family. But after he encountered God, he saw, what happened? In chapter 33, verse 10 says, "No, please," said Jacob, "if I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. After this struggle and encounter with God, he saw that God is at work in Esau. As God is at work in him, God is at work in Esau. And so he did not see this enemy in his brother, but he saw God's face in Esau. You know, when we do missions in the 20th century, we saw different countries as our enemies. It was like during the Cold War, the Cold War between the communism and the democratic movement. Missions too was like trying to get into enemy territory. And you know, having some missionaries even had two passports and two names. Lots of Pauls. People who were working in North Korea and China. And I'm not saying that there is a spiritual warfare going on, and we need to be aware of that. But we also need to know that as we are doing missions in North Korea or China or anywhere, we're not fighting the government, we're not fighting the people, but we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. But we need to bless the government. We are to pray for the leaders that of the country that we are, you know, doing missions in. We are to see that they are not our enemies, but that God is doing something in those countries. And so when we approach North Korea, they're not our enemies, but God is at work in North Korea. North Korea is not a God-forsaken, God-cursed nation. There was a time when we first began this, you know, the Rhea movement of trying to network churches and Christians to bless North Korea. A group of us gathered together in the mountain of Southern California. And there was one night, one of the final nights, one of the sisters came up and she started to pray for North Korea. And I think she started to pray for the children of North Korea. She said, "Father, we pray for the children of North Korea." And at that time, something happened that everybody in the room, about 100 of us at the same time, felt something. And there were people who had great interest in North Korea, but there were some people who just came because they were interested. They didn't have this great burden for North Korea. But everyone in that room felt this great heart of God for the people of North Korea. And what was God's heart for the people of North Korea? Was it hate? Was it animosity? Was it a curse? No. There was this great longing, as a father longs for a son that is lost. There was this great longing for the father, for the people of North Korea. And so I remember this great cry that came out from the gut of my, you know, from my gut. This longing to embrace and love the people of North Korea. And so God has not forsaken the people of North Korea. There was a great revival in North Korea, 1902 to the Pyongyang revival in 1907. Christianity began in North Korea, and in Korea from Pyongyang, this great revival. And so these are not enemies of God, but God is at work in the hearts of the leaders, just as God used Pharaoh to harden his heart. God's using Kim Jong-il. God's using the leaders of North Korea. God's working in the lives of ordinary people in North Korea. You know, when the bombing happened on the island of Yongpyeong, I got a lot of emails, or people, whenever they saw me, they would ask me, "So, you know, has your plan changed now that they've bombed?" Because my plan is to move my family closer to North Korea, to be in Yanji, China. And people would ask me, you know, "Has your plan changed? Is Rhea International going to do anything different?" If we are motivated by joining God in what God is doing in North Korea, then we will not change because of political situations or economic circumstances. If God is still loving the people of North Korea, and if that's our motivation for joining God in what he's doing in North Korea, then economic, political, these circumstances will not change our motivation and our view of the people of North Korea and our mission to the people of North Korea. So if you ask me, what did this thing change? And as I look at, as I listen to Dr. James Kim of Pyongyang University and Chris Kim doing business in North Korea, they have not changed their heart nor their strategy for blessing the people of North Korea. Thirdly, true blessing is, so second blessing is having peace with others. Third blessing, true blessing is having peace with God. You know, before this wrestle with God, this is how Jacob prayed. This is an example of, In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. Notice, he says, not the God of Jacob, but God of Abraham, God of Isaac. It wasn't his personal God. I mean, he kind of knew about God, but it wasn't his personal God. And then also, you notice, he blames this potential circumstance of, you know, being slaughtered by his own brother to God. He doesn't take ownership of his mistakes, but he says, you said to me, verse 9, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. When Jacob prayed, just as he, you know, struggled with men and women, just as he struggled with people, he struggled with God too. He tried to bargain with God because he was not at peace with God yet. Now, even though he knew about God, he knew God, it wasn't his personal God. And so he tried to bargain with God. But in verse 18-20, this is what Jacob says. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he built up an altar and called it El Eloi Israel. So basically what this means is God, El Eloi Israel means literally the God of Israel. This is, you know, my God, my God. You know, we don't have to manipulate God to bless us. We don't have to try to figure out what's God's will for my life. You know, we hear sometimes, I mean, prophetic word is excellent. And it confirms, if it confirms what you're already sensing from God. But sometimes, because of our insecurity, because we don't have this confidence that God is with us and God blesses us, we want to hear these prophetic word as kind of a, what is it? Kind of a, I don't know, what's a what? Fortune telling in some sense. But if we have this confidence that God is with us and God is blessing us, we don't have to know our future. We don't have to know where we will be. Not all of you may be in Hong Kong for the rest of your life. You may be somewhere else. Some of you may join me in North Korea or China Or we may all go back to Southern California. I love Southern California. I hated it when I was there with all the pollution and traffic and things, but I love Southern California. I realize I love Southern California. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we do, where we live, what our title is. If we have this confidence that God is with us, we don't have to know the future. We just need to live day by day. Am I living day by day with the Lord? Am I abiding in Jesus? Am I praying? Not so that I will be blessed or I will know what to do. Am I praying and really communing with God? See, I think as we do missions in North Korea or anywhere else, those of us who have peace with ourselves, those of us who have peace with others, and those of us who have peace with God, we will do a different kind of missions. Not this duality of double identity and trying to usurp the authorities, but just being transparent and saying, yeah, I am a Christian. You know, when I go into North Korea, they ask us to write down our job. And, you know, I can say, I'm a professor. Or I can say, oh, I'm a director of an NGO. I tell my guides, I say, please write down, I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian pastor. Why? Because I want them to know why I'm in North Korea. I'm not there to just do good works. I'm there because of the love of God. And I just want to be open. I want to be transparent. And if they don't want me because I'm a Christian pastor, okay, I don't need North Korea to do my ministry. I can go back to Southern California. Right? And also, if God will not use me, God will use somebody else to bless North Korea. There is a qualitative difference as we do missions when we have this kind of blessing, the true blessing. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much for the example of Jacob. Father, I pray for all of us here, Lord. We tend to be overachievers. We tend to be people who like to plan. I mean, I confess that for myself. And sometimes it stems from our insecurity, our uncertainty. And Father, I just want to pray that we would have peace with you, we would have peace with ourselves, and that we would have peace with the people that we minister to as we engage in your work and your mission. Father, help us to prioritize what is important in life. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves, we commit ourselves as individuals and also as a community to you and Lord, and ask that you would use us to be a blessing to the nations, beginning here where we are placed, here in Hong Kong. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Jamie will be around today if you want to talk to him. And get more information about Rhea or opportunities in North Korea. It's our appropriate. It's actually the first Sunday of the month. It's time for our communion and come to the Lord's table. We're actually blessed today. We didn't really. The timing was just kind of just happened. But Anil from CSW, they actually went to North Korea a few weeks ago. And they brought back some bread. And so this is actually our bread that we're using today is the bread that they feed the kids there in Rajin. And so just the timing was just incredible. Let me read from the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." And so, especially today, you know, regardless of, you know, how we feel about North Korea or whatnot, and especially as we take the bread today, you know, let's remember that there's people there. I know there's a lot of other funny stuff going on, but there's people there. You know, and as we join in the fellowship of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we ask you to join in the fellowship of the suffering of the people in North Korea. And I'm not trying to tug at your heartstrings or anything like that. You know, and I'll say this, you know, when we started planning for the conference, we were actually really shocked at the lack of response from a lot of churches in Hong Kong. You know, a lot of Christian organizations, and they basically said, "Oh, we don't care about North Korea. You know, that's not in our agenda, right? Or that's not what we want to do right now." And I thought, wow, this is probably the most volatile area in Asia right now. You know, the darkest nation that we see right now in the face of the earth. And as God calls us to be light, how can we ignore? You know, I'm Korean, right? And so I have a little more of a vested interest. But if you know me, I'm actually more American than I'm Korean. And so that's not the case either. You know, but, you know, I'm a child of God, you know, and I want to be of the Father's business. And, you know, I want to do what we see the Father doing. And there's an opportunity here. And so as we take the communion together today, you know, as we remember the Lord's suffering, you know, let's also remember people suffering along with that as well, and especially the bread that we get to share today. And so let's spend some time. The worship team will lead us in a time of prayer. You know, I mean, honestly, if your heart has gone cold before the Lord, let's make it right now. If we have lost our way in a way, you know, if we have lost some passion for Jesus, you know, the great commandment is not the foremost in our lives. You know, let's take some time today and let's reflect as we come to the Lord's table. The Lord's table is not just about bread and juice. It's about Jesus. It's about remembering, right? It's the fellowship of his sufferings and it's being conformed to his death. And I know we only do this once a month. I mean, it's something we should do every day. It's just this aspect of just remembering. You know, and so as we grab the elements and as the worship team leads us in a song, you know, to remember him more, to love him more, let's just ask Jesus to come and really reflect in our hearts. Is there anything in your life right now that has taken the place of Jesus? Supplant that. Whatever it may be. Your job, your family, your kids, you know, your future, your worries, your insecurities. If there's anything that's taken the place, then let's put that aside and put Jesus there in the center. Amen? Go ahead. With the bread today, you're going to have to take a piece from it. Pray together. Father, we humble ourselves, God, and we come before you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for what you've done for us, God, what you do for us today, God, what you did for us yesterday, and what you'll continue to do for us tomorrow, Lord. And God, we are so thankful, God, for your sacrifice, Lord, your body, God, broken and beaten for us, Lord, and the blood, God, poured down, Father God, for us, for our sins, Lord. Help us to never, ever forget that, God. Lord, that we always live, God, with an attitude of gratefulness and gratitude, God. Lord, the whole reason we come to this place, God, the whole reason, God, why we sing songs to you, Lord, and we give and we serve, Lord, is because of the cross. And so we thank you, Father, and we come humbly, God, to the foot of the cross again, God, and we just say thanks. Thank you so much, Jesus. Lord, we also want to spend this time, God, and also, God, to pray for North Korea, God. And Lord, you also were broken and beaten for them, God. And even now, God, there are our brothers and sisters, God, in prisons, Lord, that are beaten, God, just like you were, Lord, for their faith. And we ask that you would protect them, God, and you would draw them to you. Strengthen them, God, Lord, until, God, that day when you get to meet them, Lord, and the words are echoed, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master." And so we lift them up to you, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you today, God. In Jesus' name. This is Christ's body broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Let's take together. Amen. We're going to stand to our feet in a second and pray. I just wanted to say something just real briefly. I didn't plan on doing this, but You know, right now, I hope that we have a kind of a glimpse and understanding of what's going on around us in history. I think throughout this weekend, we heard about just the incredible opportunity that's there right now in North Korea. You know, so many changes and so many things going on. You know, and I really feel like God's really calling this church into arms, into action in some way. I'll share one story. You know, after World War II, when the Japanese, you know, obviously when they lost the Allied forces, you know, the generals, United States, came back to America, and they basically said, you know what, missionaries, churches, flood Japan right now. You know, go in because they are ready for the gospel. Now, they are open. They are ripe to hear the message of God. Because for a lot of Japanese, actually, they felt like that they had lost because their gods had failed them. And they were saying, what are these gods of these Americans? And MacArthur and a lot of these generals came back to the States and told the church, go right now. You know, set up schools, do all kinds of stuff, and you know, win people to the Lord. Well, obviously, the Americans didn't respond. And most of the world actually didn't respond because they were hurt because of Pearl Harbor. You know, and there was such anger and such animosity towards Japanese people, the church really didn't do anything. You know, and we live now in 2010. You know, and you know, our brother Kenny is in Japan. And, you know, if you read his emails, man, stinking depressing, you know. Just the spiritual climate. And there was a window of opportunity there. I mean, this incredible window that even military men said, church, go, do something. You know, and now we stand in that precipice of history again. I'm not trying to make this grandiose thing, but I feel like it's kind of the same scenario in some ways. You know, where we've had men of God come to us and say, hey, there's an open window. You know, there's a more openness. And you know, and this is the incredible time that God can do something in North Korea. And I say this, you know, don't let, you know, oh, there's this despot who's got atomic weapons, you know, nuclear arms and all these things. Steer us away from God's call in this opportune time. The word in Greek is kairos. It's a moment of time, right? A special window of opportunity. And I feel like it's here before us. You know, and if we don't respond as a church, you know, guaranteed 20, 30 years later on, we're going to be looking back, and not just us, but the church in general. If we don't respond, we're going to be looking back and thinking, man, it's just like Japan. You know, they're lost. You know, I mean, you know, it's a barren wasteland, spiritually speaking. But we have a window right now, you know, before us. And so I really just want to just spend a little moment of prayer, right? And just really challenging you as a church, challenging you as an individual. This doesn't mean you're Korean or Chinese or, you know, it doesn't matter. We're God's people, right? You know, but just to say, hey, is there something that maybe you can contribute? You know, is there something that maybe you can do? Obviously, we pray, right? You know, but then eventually after we pray, we got to get off our knees, you know, and do something. Right? Is there a skill? Is there a talent? You know, is there something that God has given to you that maybe would benefit the people in North Korea? You know, and the people in China and, you know, and in Northeast Asia? It's just a challenge. And I just want just God to have just a little bit of an opportunity today just to speak into our hearts and just for God to just really plant a vision there. You know, if you last night Chris shared a word with us, and it just hit me right in my heart. You know, and he basically said, you know, that much as you've been given, much is required. You know, and he was sharing about the one talents, the five, and 10 talents, and he's straight shooter, man. I mean, that's why I like Chris, right? And he just said, you guys are 10 talent people. You know, much is going to be required of you, right? And I feel like, okay, all right, I got the challenge now. You know. Let's run. Let's go for it. Let's see what God's going to do, right? And it's in such a state that, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not crazy or anything, but I feel like we can change a nation. You know, there's a song that I sing when I pray. You know, it's an old Matt Redman song, and it's a really simple chorus. It's, can a nation be changed? Can a nation be turned back to you? And the song goes, we're on our knees. And I sing that all the time, you know, in my prayer time. You know, and honestly, I never really believed it. But when Chris shared last night, there was like this flicker in my heart. I felt like, you know what? We can change a nation. You know? And it's why not? You know? God's got to use someone. Why not us? Right? I mean, just it's real simple. You know? Maybe we're ignorant. That's okay. And stuff. But can a nation be changed? I think yes. And I think he could really use us. And so I just want to just give God some space today, you know, especially since Jamie preached so short, right? You know, you guys thought you were off early, but, you know, not the case. But just giving God a little opportunity to speak to us and to download something in our hearts right now for a nation, for a volatile nation, for an evil nation, a dark place, but filled with people that God loves. And so, Lord, we open up our hearts and our minds to you right now, God. And we ask you to speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and breathe something into our spirit today. Thank you, Jesus. If the Lord is downloading ideas, or, you know, maybe he's given some of you guys a dollar figure, you know, or whatever, maybe God's just stirring your heart, you know, and you just feel moved, you know, kind of like Jamie was talking about when he was up in the mountains and they just felt moved, you know, praying for these kids. Maybe that's what God's doing. Whatever it is, I want you to share it with me. You know, share it with our mission committee and our elder board. You know, and let's see as we put our collective minds together what God can do. Amen? Let's rise to our feet and let's end our service in worship and honoring Jesus.
Sing it. We can see that God, you're moving. We can see that God, you're moving. A mighty river through the nations. Young and old will turn to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gate.
Let's pray together. Father, we bless you, God. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the word in our that you've given to us through your servant, God. Lord, we pray, God, that we would go after the true blessings, Lord. God, that our worth, our value comes from you, God. You are our source, God. You are the center of our life, God. Everything flows from you, Lord. God, I pray that as individuals, God, as a church, Lord, that we would epitomize, God, what that truly means, Lord, as we offer up our lives to you, God, and as we serve and be a blessings, Lord, to everyone around us, God. We thank you, Lord. Seal the word in our hearts, God. Draw us to you, Lord. Continue to speak to us, God, about North Korea, God, about China, Lord, about Asia, Father, God, in our role, God, here in this place. We thank you, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. Come and take your place in our lives today and every day of our lives. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Won't you hug someone next to you? Huh? Say, God bless. Have a great week. Please pick up the little breadcrumbs that are lying around on the floor, right, as we get prepared next service. If you're new, we'd love to see you downstairs in our welcome reception. And if you have any kind of need of a physical healing, you can come up and get prayed for today as well.